We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome in Thursday edition of Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Kramer Sansone producing today. We've hit six, which is doggone deadly in a shortened season. And that start we didn't want to talk about has hit the danger zone.
Well, they're 3-10. It's the worst record in baseball, and it's very frustrating right now to watch this team play from a team standpoint. From an individual standpoint, there are still a lot of really good things, but the pressure is on the starting pitching and the pressure is on the bullpen, Josh, to have to go out there and essentially be perfect, or you're not going to put your team in a position to win a game. And we were talking, you know, off the air before the show started about just how good Bubich looked last night, man. Like I thought that guy was on fire last night. The first, you know, what did he retire? The first nine or whatever it was that he faced was striking out guys, and then gives up a bloop and a, you know, and a ground out, and he ends up giving up a run. And the way that this offense is going right now, if you give up a run as a starting pitcher, you're putting your team in a very bad position.
Yeah, the way he gave up runs, it's like, okay, I can live with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of a fluky hit and a ground out.
Yeah,
okay.
All right, fine.
You kept your team in it.
Right.
Six innings, two runs, I'll take it.
But this offense right now stinks. I mean, it really does, and there's really no other way to put it. And it's really unfortunate because the pitching, for the most part, has been really, really good. I mean, we're seeing really good starts from the starters. Duffy kept you in the game on Monday. Singer kept you in the game on Tuesday. Bubich kept you in the game on Wednesday. And I'm sure Brad Keller, which I'm excited to see tonight pitch, you know, for this ball club, will probably keep you in the game on Thursday. But your offense eventually has to find a way to start getting some hits. I mean, you get first and third and what, one out or nobody out, and you're not able to score runs. I mean, you have to find a way to start producing. And Mike Matheny says it almost every day, we're paid to win games, and the wins and losses, you know, are something that matter to him and something that he wants to figure out a way to, you know, kind of right this ship and get back in the win column. But you're sitting at 3-10 right now, and it's not because of the pitching. I mean, it has nothing to do with the way that these guys have gone out there and pitched. It has everything to do with the way that these guys have gone out there and not produced on offense. And, you know, maybe you get Hunter Dozier back in the lineup and it helps you out a little bit, but is Hunter Dozier a 5-run-a-game guy? I mean, like that's kind of where we are right now, you know, with this ball club. I mean, what are we counting on with Hunter Dozier to produce in the lineup once he comes back? Maybe 2 runs a game more than, you know, what you're getting right now. And if that's
doubt
the
it.
Case, yeah. But I'm being optimistic.
I mean,
yeah,
I doubt
right,
it. I doubt one guy
right.
inserted in the lineup makes 2 runs a difference per game.
Right. I'm trying to be a little optimistic here to try to figure out how you can get some offense going. We'll talk about it with Matheny coming up in about 3 hours about, you know, what can we do as fans to help this offense get going? Because right now they're stuck in neutral.
I just can't.
From an offensive standpoint.
I can't be, Hunter Dozier hit a home run at the T-Bones.
And he did his first at bat yesterday.
And woo, that's going to be the difference. I'm like, right. okay, that's nice. I'll take him back. But what else are the rest of you going to do?
Right.
We discussed yesterday, nobody getting on in front of Soler
right.
like late in games. Like how
is this possible? Right. You never had a guy in scoring position from the fourth inning on until 2 nights ago.
Yeah, it's like, okay, gotta get more people on base.
Right.
Gotta manufacture a little bit and then, you know, allow your big bats to average actually have some attempts with people in scoring position would be really, really helpful.
Well, what happens is, too, you get guys on base. Now, all of a sudden, you got pressure on the pitcher, and then and the pitcher may make a mistake because he's looking at the runner at first base or worried about the runner stealing third or something like that. So you've got to find a way to get on base, and maybe it goes back to the whole, you know, trying to manufacture runs or whatever it is, and you start bunting and you start stealing and you start running and you start doing some of those things, you know, that made this ball club successful when they started to break onto the scene back in 2012, 2013, 2014. You did a lot of different things. I distinctly remember a game against the White Sox where people were mad that Ned bunted and tried to manufacture a run in like 2013 or 2014, but it ended up being something that this ball club needed to kind of jumpstart their offense a little bit. And maybe that's the position that we are in, you know, right now. As much as the, you know, Matheny has maneuvered the lineup and moved guys around and tried to figure out ways to start hitting, maybe it just goes back to basic, you know, baseball. All right, you're going to get on. We're going to bunch you over. You're going to steal third. We're going to sacrifice fly in and try to get an early lead or something like that, because right now these bats are ice cold, and I feel really bad for the starting pitchers because, Josh, I think this is the best starting pitching we've seen since the 80s in Kansas City, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. This is a better rotation right now than what the Royals had in 2014 and 2015. Right now, this is a better rotation than what the Royals had in their two World Series runs, and I think with this rotation right now, man, I
not
hope
as much experience, but you're talking like upside and
I'm talking
you
talent.
Like, you feel like you're going to feel comfortable every time they hit the mound,
yeah,
and those types of things. Even the young guys are like, okay, I acknowledge you're going to have some hiccups, but the confidence is there. Like, yeah, this kid looks like he's got it.
I mean, they look like they know what they're doing. They're in control.
Every night when you're putting out a starter, you don't feel like you're first week of the season when you're manufacturing those things, you're like, oh boy,
yeah, right.
And I understand they were down bodies at that point in time, but once you got now to the five,
mm-hmm,
and can go, yeah, you should feel really, really confident.
I mean, this is you look back, you know, in the 80s when they won the world championship and you had Sabes on that team and he was a young guy, Gubiza on that team and they were young guys, okay? This is where that rotation is, and I think it's since like 1985 when all those young guys came up in this Royals organization and when they won the world championship back then, to me, this is the best rotation that they had. I mean, I think Kyle Singer is a home run as a prospect right now. I think Chris Bubich, my goodness, the way that he threw last night and the way that he was dealing last night and striking dudes out last night. And really when he got his buddy, you know, out for the Cubs a couple of times too, I think that says more than anything, because that guy knows what Bubich is going to do. He knows his kind of tendencies. He knows, you know, what pitches are going to be coming. And Bubich was still able to get, what was that guy's name? Noah something or other that he was able to get, mm-hmm, out last night for the Cubs a couple of times. So you look at things.
Horner,
right? Jack Horner, yeah. Whatever his name, Nico Horner. That's who it was, Nico Horner. He was able to get him out a couple of times last night. And so that's a kid who's so familiar with him that the book is out on him. Bubich still dominated that guy last night. So that's why I think this rotation right now, man, could you imagine, like, if this rotation was in place with the offense that we had in 14 and 15, you're probably talking about back-to-back championships that year. And maybe you even get into the postseason in 2016 when you're sitting at 81-81 and they ultimately become the difference for you in continuing this run. But I love this rotation right now. I love watching these guys pitch when they start a game. I don't like watching the offense, and I don't think anybody does right now. And in this organization, I don't think you can be satisfied with what's going on offensively because you're wasting unbelievable starts by these young guys. But as we said yesterday, this is the internship season. This is the year where you go and you intern and you become a Major League Baseball player. You learn the ropes. You figure out what you need to do. You figure out how to adjust. You figure out how to make changes. You figure out life on the road. You figure out life inside a Major League clubhouse. And then next year hits, and then you're off and running. And I just think April of next year, when this thing gets started, and you got Bubich and Singer at the top of your rotation, good luck, man. Good luck to everybody else in Major League Baseball and in this division trying to get around those two guys. And then you got Duffy maybe as your third, and Keller as your fourth, and Junis as your fifth. I mean, this is a nice rotation right now. And I'm so upset for them that they're not getting the wins and they're not getting the credit for being as good as they are, because the offense just can't get out of the blocks right now. And anytime it seemingly you get something going, it fizzles out. And I think Ryan McBroom's at bat last night in like the sixth inning, where he struck out on three pitches against Yu Darvish and looked at strike three go by, and then he's
looked like
swinging the bat.
Yu Darvish, by the way.
Oh, he was good last night,
been,
right?
That guy hasn't been around for a while, but
right.
That looked like a pretty good performance. But yes, that at bat, you're like, whoa, that ended quick.
That ended fast. It was three straight pitches. He was done and back. And I'm like, that's a microcosm for the way that this offense is going right now. They're just not finding a way to get the breaks, to get the big hit, to get the big moment, to have the confidence. And you can see it because I can't say any fan has confidence sitting at home, right, that this offense is going to come through with the way that the things have started. And you're seeing that now with the players. And they're clearly pressing big time offensively. But the pitching, I mean, I'm watching the starting pitching every night. And, man, I just keep seeing the future. And I keep getting excited about where the pitching is headed, you know, with this ball club, because it's only going to get better. You get Asa Lacy up here as well. And now all of a sudden you got, you know, Bubic, they're saying it's not even the best lefty in the organization because Asa Lacy is. And if Bubic is doing this through two games, man, Asa Lacy, like that, you're talking Cy Young type of guy if he's going to come up here and be better than what we've seen out of Bubic. So from a pitching standpoint, I'm still so excited about what the future holds. But man, for a season right now, a 60-game season, you're 3-10, odds aren't looking good that you're going to be challenging for one of those playoff spots.
Well, much like last year, where I felt like they should have had more wins based on the individual performances we were seeing.
Yeah.
They couldn't figure out how to get that to come together to equate to wins. I feel like it's the same thing going again.
It is.
You got a lot of nice individual parts that are doing some things, and it's not equating to team victories, which is at times baffling.
Right, it is. And I don't know if there's too many holes in the lineup, but I mean, you got Soler, you got Salvi, you've got Witt, you've got Mondi, you've got a lot of legit guys. I mean, you got Alex Gordon in there, you know, hitting seventh this year. And so you've got a lot of legit bats in that lineup that can produce for you. It's just like everybody's in a funk at the same time, and that's kind of what stinks right now.
Yeah. I mean, because I think, I mean, I might be able to do an upgrade here or there, but I'm like, okay, that looks like a decent enough everyday lineup, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's a complete, you know, wasteland 7, 8, 9 or something.
No. Franco's been really nice in this lineup too.
In your lineup. So yeah, how do you get that to equate to W's?
Well, how do you get it to be contagious?
The great mystery again. And then you mentioned kind of the legit, it's not seemingly one guy's going, another guy's not, of the legit guys, right? They're not all bing, 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 bing.
Right.
It's one guy might have a good night here and then an over behind him. Mm-hmm. How do you make those things contagious along the lineup? Because I think it's decent enough as a lineup to, like, you should be, with the pitching you have, you should be in every ball game. And they're not out of every ball game. They weren't out of last night's until the eighth.
Yeah.
But how do you get over the hump and reward those pitchers too for having those types of outings? Bubic should have been rewarded last night.
Yeah, you know, two nights ago, Singer should have been rewarded. Three nights ago, Danny Duffy should have been rewarded. And so, you know, I think one of the biggest holes in their lineup right now, though, Josh, is at first base. And maybe you start to see, and I'm not saying this year, obviously, because we don't know what's going on, you know, with Nick Prado or anything like that. But I would think, like, you kind of turn up the clock on him a little bit, because Ryan McBroom and the other guy over O'Hearn. Ed O'Hearn.
Yes,
Ed Hearn. Those two guys right now, I mean, that is a big hole in your lineup right now at first base. You're getting zero production out of your first base spot right now. And so maybe Nick Prado is the answer in 2021 at that position. But, you know, you're looking around the diamond, and we talked about it last week and maybe even earlier this week. If you start to think about Rosenthal and Kennedy and maybe even a Danny Duffy, whose name keeps coming up down in Atlanta, have a buddy who works down in Atlanta, keeps throwing the name Danny Duffy out there to go get Danny Duffy to put in their rotation. If you ultimately end up trading one of these guys, and we talked about what do you want back in return, maybe first base is the answer for that right now. Maybe you need to get a first baseman that can be a legit hitter in your lineup and not just be a big time hole in your lineup right now. Because I think right now, the way I look at it, first base is a big hole in the lineup right now for this organization. Maybe Hunter Dozier comes back, Josh, and he ends up playing first base full time, you know, for this ball club. And you put him here, put him there. You have Nicky Lopez at second base. You put Witt back in the outfield. Maybe Soler plays a little bit more of the outfield instead of the designated hitter role. But they've got to get production out of first base, because right now, whoever's playing that position is giving them nothing when it comes to offense, you know, for this team right now.
They were both in the lineup last night.
Yeah, so. And both of those guys right now really aren't cutting the mustard. But again, I mean, we're using the season, in my opinion, now at 3-10. It's an internship type season. But this is the last year I'm going to be evaluating individual performances. Eventually, it's got to turn around, and you have to find ways to start getting those victories, because that's what Mike Matheny keeps talking about. Keeps talking about we're paid to win games. And so I'm willing to not look at the record this year. I'm willing to look at these individual individual performances, especially from a pitching standpoint, because what we're seeing from a pitching standpoint, man, in a couple of years, the rest of the league is going to be terrified of the Kansas City Royals.
Sucks to be switching that stance 2 weeks in.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just adjusting based on the data I'm given.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah, yeah, I don't think it's out of the question. You're like, we said 2 weeks, 2 weeks in, and I said if you're 3-11, 4-10, this is before the season starts. I'm like, you're kind of sunk.
Yeah,
we're to that point.
We're to that point. I mean, I think we even mentioned like if you're 3-10, yeah, it's not going to be so good for
you.
It's
very hard to dig out.
I mean, I hate to say that because I want to see this team win games, but now you got the Minnesota Twins coming in after the game today against the Chicago Cubs. They're the best team in baseball
right
now.
Yeah, they have 10 wins already.
You know, they're the best team in baseball right now. So you've got the Twins rolling in here after this, and you know, I'd love to see you can make up some ground there and kind of stay in this thing, but I think right now where I stand at 3-10 in a 60 game season, you're 13 games in, you got 47 to go. I mean, I'm rooting for individual performances to be stellar, and we're getting a lot of those from a pitching standpoint, and that's that to me in baseball, if you can get great pitching, you're going to give your team an opportunity every single night to win some ball games, and the Royals are really getting some great pitching right now.
He's thrilled to have his running mate back. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Today is the deadline for players in the NFL to opt out. They'll have till 3 o'clock today to notify teams in writing.
Oh, in writing. You have to do it. Okay.
Handwrite a letter.
Can you fax that thing in? You can't text your coach or anything like that?
So.
How would Cespedes handle this?
That they won't be playing this season. I think, you type something on your notepad and you...
And you send it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
You text it in. It's fine as well. But in writing by 3 o'clock today.
Carrier pigeon?
Yeah, you could do that too. Yeah.
Sure. About 60 players so far have decided to opt out of the upcoming NFL season. I don't know about you. I felt like, Andy Reid didn't say, no, we're not going to have any more opt-outs.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was kind of leaving the door open that, there was a deadline. So maybe we get someone else from the Chiefs. Maybe not. But this afternoon comes the deadline for NFL players to let their teams know they're playing this upcoming season or not.
You know, they talked to Philip Rivers yesterday in Indianapolis, and he was asked about opting out of the season. He goes, if I opted out, I would have retired. I would have been done. I would have been out. I would have been gone. See you later. But Albert Wilson is a guy who opted out down in Miami. I can't say I found that to be surprising. I'm like, yeah, I think I would have been more surprised if Albert Wilson played this year. I don't know. I just felt like he was a guy that was probably going to opt out, left Kansas City, got his big contract, and you know, has done some really nice things for the Miami Dolphins. But I just felt like he was a guy that was probably going to opt out, and he did, and he's going to be doing something else this offseason, and hopefully he comes back because he's a nice player in the NFL. But I think we're starting to kind of see the end of the opt-outs. I think everybody who opted out may have done so already, unless there's a last-minute decision where you're really wrestling with it. I think maybe we've seen the last of it, but, you know, who knows? We got till 3 o'clock today to see what happens when it comes to the opt-outs. Hopefully nobody else opts out on the Chiefs, and we can just kind of continue this thing, you know, rolling and get set for another championship run here in Kansas City.
That would be good. Frank Clark discussing this week, having a short-term memory about that Super Bowl. I think one of the best things I've heard, again, everything that they've done on paper and that they've said, because we haven't seen anything obviously on the field yet.
Even you as the sideline reporter
has been great. I think that saying all the right things, having the right mental approach to how the season should be, even though they didn't get the full opportunity to celebrate.
And maybe that ends up being a good thing.
It might be like, okay, well, we didn't get ours. We had to flip around and now try to do it again. But having a short-term memory, Frank Clark says, is a must.
Main thing is, man, just staying in tune with each other. You know, I feel like that's the biggest thing that happens when guys have success. Guys go win the Super Bowl. You know, you got prima donnas. You got this guy wanting to go off and do this. You got different guys coming to work with different mindsets. They're not focused on the one goal, and that's to win the championship. And I feel like that's where our strength is, you know, and we haven't wavered from that. It's having that short memory. We won the Super Bowl last year, but that was last year. You know, some guys get, you know, cocky. They love that feeling. They love the emotions of winning it and care feel for, for this year. You know, honestly, us being champions last year, nobody cares about that. I know our coach don't care about that. You know, that's all fun. You know, that's nice. You know, it's pretty nice. It's cute and all, but, you know, we got stuff to do this year and a whole new set of goals. You got to win the AFC championship, and that's where it starts.
Frank Clark.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you on the web stream heard that. Those of you on the air did not.
You always got to remember, there's a chance at Frank.
Yeah, he's going to, he may slip up a little bit. Yeah. So bleep that up for the next one, please. but his message is correct about having that short memory, not being prima donnas, not walking around like you own the place. And I think the more I look at the way that the offseason went, the better it is for a team coming off a championship, not having the ability to go out there and celebrate and be the kings of the world because of, you know, this coronavirus. And it keeps you kind of grounded, I think, a little bit, because you didn't have the whole off season of going to parties and hanging out here and doing this and doing that and everybody telling you you're wonderful. And you start to buy into all of that kind of stuff and you start to get exhausted by, you know, partying and enjoying the off season too much. But by the time the season rolls around, you're like, man, I need a break from the off season because we've been going so much. And so I think by not having the ability to truly celebrate this Super Bowl championship, I really do think it bodes well for this organization. And I think it bodes well for the Chiefs about trying to run it back because they have been focused on this all offseason. There's been nothing else to do except focus on winning that next championship. And you're right, Josh. All of them have the same mindset. Like, that was last year. That doesn't matter. That was, you know, that was 2019's team. This is 2020.
Comes
it's
from
a completely different, you know,
hammering that
deal.
Home.
And it doesn't. And Andy said that at the beginning of the season, we had a nice run last year, but now we're on to this year. Like, he didn't even acknowledge that they won the Super Bowl at the opening press conference.
Pat and Tyron and Frank and Kelsey and all of them mimicking that same thing.
Yep.
It is not the message. It's like they're all living that. If it comes from that group, and it starts with Andy, it goes to that leadership group. That leadership group, that's it. That's what you are. You are not living on last year,
right?
You're in this year, and I love hearing that from everybody, top to bottom.
And they haven't even gotten their rings yet, Josh. I mean, they haven't even seen their rings. You know, usually by this time, you've already had the you know the fancy party where everybody's showing up and it's the red carpet and you're getting your Super Bowl ring and you're celebrating that championship. Chiefs haven't even had an opportunity to do that. And I know this isn't going to happen, but I just kind of hold those rings back to the end of the season this year and say, hey, go win another one, and then we'll get back-to-back rings and we'll have a big ceremony for that. But obviously, you got to give the guys their rings for going out there and winning that Super Bowl championship. But here we are in August, and Kelsey was asked about the ring last week. He's like, I haven't even seen it yet. I don't even know what it looks like yet. You know, it's like, I'll just take one of those. And so they haven't even gotten to that point yet where they're passing out the rings. And so not having that ring on your finger every day isn't there to remind you that we were kings of the world. Maybe you don't wear that ring. Maybe you don't see that ring and you start to think, hey, we need to get back and win another one of these things so we can actually get our rings. And so I think there's so much motivation for this team. And I also think there's a lot of doubt, because I don't think there's a lot of doubt about this team, but there have been questions about, can they handle being champions and will they let that go to their head? And I think the number one thing that they've done so far is being able to handle being champions and handling that success and not letting it get too big for them where they can't focus back on what they need to do this season.
Frank Clark also gets his running mate back, Chris Jones, signing that big new deal as well. And he says the two can be the best duo in the NFL.
You know, he's a smart player. You know, he's so fun to be around, you know, off the field and even on the field. But he's such a smart player, and he seems like he just gets better and better. You know, I remember watching film on Chris when, you know, I was a younger player, probably, what, 3 or whatever, and he was just a year behind me, really. And watching him, and I'm like, wow, who's this young guy? You know what I mean? You're a beast. And, you know, finally getting the chance to get out here, get acclimated with the system and to be able to play with him. You know, last year was just – it was great. And now, you know, us, we talk all the time, and we look at each other and we understand, you know, what's asked of us. We understand the type of pressure that's put on players like us. But, you know, we embrace it too. You know, it's all fun. It's fun. Like I tell him, you know, have fun with it. You know, don't let it stress you out too much. And he tell me the same. Like, we're going to be the best, you know, two defensive linemen ever to play the game together. And that's one of the things we always talk about. You know, we got, you know, a few years to do something great. You know, just the reality of the game. You know, you got a few years in that window to do something great and to be the greatest you can be at doing it, and why not do it?
I love it. That young guy. Who's this young guy?
He's a year younger. You thought the same thing, too. Yeah. I mean, I come in here and they got this young guy here. Well, he's only like a year younger. Yeah, he's not really a young guy anymore. I mean, you know, you basically have played the same amount of time in this league. And look, man, if they can continue to grow together and continue to have the same type of success that they did basically from week 11 to where we are right now, yeah, you could be talking about one of the best duos on the defensive line in the history of the NFL. Obviously, you had the Purple People Eaters in Pittsburgh, the Steel Curtain up in Minnesota, and guys like that, Doomsday's defense down, you know, in Dallas. You had those really good defensive lines of the 70s and you know, spreading into the 80s a little bit. But, man, right now, if you could have Frank Clark and Chris Jones on your defensive line, how much further along are you from everybody else in the NFL, knowing you have those two beasts up front? Chris Jones is going to make plays at the line of scrimmage. Frank Clark's going to get to the quarterback, and when you need a big play late in the game, Frank Clark's going to come through as the closer and finish this thing off. So yeah, I love the motivation. I love the talk that they want to be the best duo that's ever played the game together, and I think they can be on that track. If they continue to do what they've done, man, look out. Frank Clark and Chris Jones every Sunday coming after the opposing quarterback. Good luck to the opposition.
Can't wait to see Frank and that youngster.
I know.
913-576-7610. That is the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. It is open for you all the time, but we shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you'd like to discuss, 913-576-7610, and let's throw it next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Text line open for you. Anything you'd like to discuss, we call it Shout It Out. We do it each and every day at 6:30. Anything you'd like to discuss, 913-576-7610. The text line number, we'll do that coming up in just a few minutes. I guess blame COVID. We had a fantastic off-season event, reportedly canceled, Fesco. It was going to be Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen settling world's strongest arm. I guess they had possibly a charity type event set up to settle once and for all who had the strongest arm. And they said it was COVID canceled, but maybe something that can get fired up at some point in time. Josh Allen was on Good Morning Football yesterday on NFL Network.
We're working on it. We had something in place, actually, supposed to be going this summer, but obviously some COVID restrictions had that kind of shot down. But yes, I'm game. I think, you know, Pat's got obviously one of the strongest arms in the league. He's, if not the best quarterback in the league right now, just the things that he can do on the football field, it's pretty unbelievable to watch. And congrats to him and what he's been able to accomplish there. I'm a big fan of his and his game and his play style. So yeah, I'd love to finally settle this and figure it out, but we'll have to make sure that it, you know, whatever the case may be, it's going to a good cause and there's some charity involved with it, because I know he's got his 15 in Mahomes charity and foundation, so we'll figure out a way where we can do this. Man, for sure.
Josh Allen's just too nice.
Yeah, he is. Like, you're like, all right, I'm rooting for this guy, right? Yeah. Like, I didn't realize Josh Allen had an arm that was even comparable to Patrick Mahomes, or let alone anybody.
He's got the Madden 99 arm,
right,
to Pat's 97.
Correct.
So, yeah. I mean, Pat's thrown it out of the stadium. We've seen him do that.
Well, we heard Osimile yesterday talk about, you know, watching this kid casually throw 70-yard passes in practice. I've not heard anybody talk about Josh Allen casually throwing a pass 70 yards in practice, to just kind of, you know, be out there on the field and do something like that. So I'm still going to take Patrick Mahomes in this. And of course, immediately our friends over at Bovada came out with odds that you can bet on Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the favorite to have the longest throw. Josh Allen is the favorite to have the fastest
better
throw.
Fastball. I
better
gotcha.
Fastball.
Right.
And the average yards of the throw off, are you going over or under 83.5? I mean, that's a pretty nice number there. Are you going over or under 83.5?
Feels like a long way.
It really does, doesn't it? I mean, I think the smart money would be on the
under.
I don't know, though, Josh.
Is that on the roll?
No, I don't think so.
It doesn't say.
I'm guessing it's on the fly.
It really doesn't say. That's a fair point. But I would imagine probably where it hits, kind of, you know, where it sticks in the ground, kind of like if you're throwing the javelin or the discus or something like that, right?
You put the chalk at the end of the football.
Yeah, wherever it hits the ground. So, but longest throw, 83.5. And then the fastest throw. Now, listen to this, 60.5 miles an hour. That is a speeding bullet when you think about a football. I mean, that doesn't sound much when it's baseball. And if somebody's throwing 60.5 miles an hour in Major League Baseball, you're probably up there raking and putting a ton of runs on the board. And so I think for football standpoint, that's a very, very fast throw. But I would take the under on miles per hour because I think you're trying to launch the ball, right? You're not trying to throw as fast as you can.
Are we having a short, at the fair, you know, where you throw the speed pitch?
Yeah.
Are we doing that to determine the fast, or are we clocking it based on speed of the distance?
I think you're probably doing speed of the distance.
So if we're throwing that 83.5 yard bomb, does it also have to have the speed factor with it while it's doing it?
Yeah, and I think that's where you're going to do it. I think in something like this, you probably get a couple of warm-ups, obviously, and a couple of practice throws. But I would imagine
Your arm out like, again, us at the county fair.
But I'm saying it's probably a one-throw deal, right? And if I'm Josh Allen and I'm Patrick Mahomes and Brett Veach, I'm looking at his contract going, I don't know if you can participate in something like this.
Be a one-throw deal if you're going to do some kind of event. Don't you have to have an event?
Well, you can have a 30-minute event.
Or is this
event
like the Melinda guy that climbs? Yeah. We do an hour show to lead up to one throw.
Right. That's what we know. It's a half-hour show. I think you do a half-hour show leading up to the throw. I think you do, you know, one segment where you interview the guys. The next segment, you come back. Both of them are talking about their charities and the foundation and showing the work that they do in the community.
And then we
go
throw
to another commercial,
over?
And then you throw and it's over.
Okay.
And that's your 30 minutes from 7 to 7:30 on ABC on Tuesday night.
Doesn't sound as exciting as I'd hoped.
Then, it's a throw.
I'm tuning in for the final 5 minutes then.
That's probably what you want to watch. A lot of teasing. I mean, you could milk this thing for an hour if you wanted to. I'm sure the TV executives will find a way to milk it. You can do a whole segment of showing their highlights and some of their best throws and some of their long throws. And, you know, clearly nobody watched Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech other than Binkley and Brett Veach. How many people watched Josh Allen play at Wyoming? Maybe you show some great plays from college. You interview some of their teammates about what makes them so special. I mean, yeah, you could definitely milk this thing into a full hour-long episode and then have the throw at the end. But I think it's a one-throw deal, man. If you mess up, you mess up. If you throw it great, you throw it great, and that's kind of where you have to live with it. So I think that's how I would do it, try to make it a made-for-TV type event, and then at the end, all right, guys, let's go, and you've got, you know, somebody with a tape measure standing down there waving for you, and you throw, and whoever throws the furthest wins, and that's all she wrote. Mm-hmm. I think it's a one-throw type of deal, not the best of three or anything like that. One throw and go.
I see. I put the garbage can out at like 60 yards, and see, you can drop it in the garbage can. Do all those things. I want a quarterback skills challenge, not just a one throw.
Man, we're not going to get
I do like the Pro Bowl like skills challenge portion of it.
But this is about who has the biggest arm, who can throw the furthest. It's not about accuracy or anything like that.
All right. I don't know. I'll take Pat, but I don't know that I care for the event.
Oh, I'm watching that.
So, we'll see. Next offseason, apparently, though.
It's not going to be now.
But hey, it sounds like the two are both willing to do it, which is pretty cool as well. Let's shout it out. 913-576-7610. Brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com. Mention 610 and get 10% off.
I am working from my dad's house near Detroit. He watches the Weather Channel at full volume for about 3 hours. I feel I can be a meteorologist now.
Well, I mean, you got to tell your dad to turn down the volume or get yourself some noise-canceling headphones so you can sit in there. But that's what old people do. They love the weather and they love the news. I don't know why they care for either one of those things, because you're not going to affect the weather with change, obviously. There's nothing you can do about that. And the news is just all negative stuff all the time anyway. So I have no use for that right now. Get your dad watching like NFL Network or listening to the show. Turn up the show louder for your dad so it can drown out Jim Cantori of the Weather Channel.
Someone says they could do this throwing event as part of a sports science as well.
Yeah, maybe.
I could get a little geeky with that one.
I'd pass on that. I'd rather have it a made-for-TV event, a one-night thing on a Tuesday night where you do have kind of
awkward hosts.
Yeah, well, Joe Tessitore and Rob Riggle could do the hosting of this thing, which would be a lot of fun.
They'd be good. They'd be good, actually. T-bone or ribeye? This person really wants to know our answer because they've had it a couple days in a row now.
Yeah, ribeye for me. I love a good ribeye.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr. is becoming a force.
Boy, is he. God, have you seen what he's done over the last couple of nights? 30-plus games and back-to-back games. And, I mean, like, they're getting really excited out in Denver for him, talking about maybe a new emerging star in the league. I will say this. I mean, maybe a shortened season is good for Michael Porter Jr. because he's not proven he can stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
It really is. I mean, but that's the reality of it. I mean, if you can't stay healthy, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you can't play, what's the difference? So he's got to find a way to stay healthy and make it through these long seasons in the NBA. And until he can prove that, you know, it's hard to, you know, crown him as one of the greats in the NBA right now. But if he continues to play like this and stay healthy, yeah, he has the opportunity to be one of the rising stars in this league for a long time.
That's it. I'm throwing away my son's Legos 2 days in a row. I stepped on one.
It's terrible, man. I got you on that one. You step on them all the time, and they're terrible.
Yes.
They're awful. Every parent, no matter if you have a boy or a girl or one kid or 10,
you can feel
you're stepping on Legos.
Right now, if you've had this experience, you feel it in your foot right
now.
Well,
when you read that, I immediately felt what it was like to step on a Lego. Yes. It's not fun.
It's the worst. Mahomes threw 62 miles an hour against David Carr during his combine.
Oh, all right. Well, then I'll take the over then. But
that is a short one, though, right? See, it depends how they set. I think it depends how they set it up.
Sure, I mean, I do too. I think if you're trying to just throw from distance, I don't know if speed factors
does
in.
Does your launch angle and your
I don't know.
See, I don't want Mahomes throwing fast. I'd rather him throw the long one, because if you throw fast, you're going to throw as hard as you can.
Yeah, and then when you throw as hard as you can, you know how it works out.
We've all done it.
In case of the try-too-hards, there's a reason they have that out there.
We've all done it. Well, what's the best option when you can't find your keys in the morning?
Calling sick, I guess. I mean, that's the worst. And I've found myself in that boat many times. Check your pants that you wore yesterday.
Might be in the car.
Could be in the ignition where you just got out of the car. Yeah, check on the counter. Check underneath the couch cushions, check anywhere you sat yesterday once you got home. But yeah, that's a good call, Josh. Check the car. They could be hanging in the ignition right now.
It's usually where you find them. So head out to the car and see if they're there. That is today's edition of Shout It Out. The text line always open for you, 913-576-7610. Less food than we've had recently, so. Which is good, because we're not all hungry after departing this segment.
Mm-hmm.
But the text line always open for you, 913-576-7610. D2 and D3 have decided to cancel, and there's babysitters coming next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
So as D1 college football tries to press through, the Big Ten announcing its schedule yesterday, the Big 12 is working on it. D2 and D3 have canceled their championships for their fall sports. Not canceling their seasons.
No.
But canceling their postseasons.
Right, like your Division III playoffs, which, you know, a lot of people like because they actually have a playoff in Division III. And Division II, I think, has the Mineral Water Bowl or something like that that's probably going to be canceled and not take place this year. But you still have the opportunity to go out and play your regular seasons. And it's not just football. It's cross country. It's volleyball.
Sports,
it's soccer. Whatever fall sport there is, the NCAA is saying that we're out of this business of running the championships this year, but we're going to leave it up to you guys to decide whether or not you want to have the seasons or not. And if I'm the MIAA, because that's the big league around here that it truly affects, you know, your Emporia states, your Northwest Missouri states, your Pitt states and league and teams like that. If I'm those teams and I'm those leagues, I think I would still want to play my regular season. If you feel like you can get a regular season in, go ahead and play that regular season, because I think the difference between Division II and Division III is legitimately Division II and Division III players are going pro in something other than, you know, the NFL or soccer or baseball or whatever sport it is that you're playing in college. And I think, you know, with the way that, you know, things are going right now in this world, are you going to get guys and gals to hang on and save their eligibility for an extra year in college, or are they going to want to hit the workforce and get out of college right now because you're really not going, you're doing a lot of the online stuff? So if I'm these schools and these leagues, I would probably want to play my regular season, because I think that best benefits all the student athletes, because you only have a certain amount of eligibility and a certain amount of years, and how many are truly going to take you up on that extra year of eligibility that the NCAA will offer if you decide to come back. And so I would try to find a way to play the regular regular season and you know, just go out there and have some fun, because I think for a lot of these guys at Division II and Division III and a lot of the girls at Division II and Division III, this is absolutely the last opportunity you're going to get to play competitive sports.
If I'm those companies that are in the business of, like, tournaments and stuff too, I pick it up. Just do it for them.
What do you mean?
Do a private one.
A private tournament? Yeah. I don't know if you, I mean, I guess you could, you know, technically do that.
Organize at the end of the season. The NCAA doesn't want to do it for you. We will.
We'll do it for you at the end of the year.
We'll do it for you at the end of the year.
Would the schools participate? I guess they probably would.
I don't know.
I don't know, but
I throw that out there. Your way of getting the NCAA out of the way.
But how many of these schools, you know, are actually going to be playing in the postseason too? That's the other thing. I mean, the postseason in college sports and in any sport really is very limited. It's not everybody going to the postseason. But if everybody gets an opportunity to play for, you know, for a regular season this year, I think that's the smart move, and that's what I would do. If I'm the MIAA and some of these other smaller leagues, I'm pushing really hard to find a way to play this season, even if there isn't a championship at the end. You could still crown a champion of your league.
You could say. This is the ultimate way to just, you know, your spin for 1 year. This is the ultimate way to decide it. We're just going to play everybody and what have you and determine the ultimate regular season champion, because that means more.
Well,
because it used to mean more, right?
It did.
Before we got into the business of postseason championships. That's the way you did it. So I guess you can harken back to that if you want to.
But how many championships, you know, the NCAA not running this year? Is it because of COVID, or is it because they're using COVID to save money on running these championships that I think ultimately, you know, net them a negative as opposed to a positive? I mean, the NCAA not having the basketball tournament this year, we've already seen how that just disrupted life for every college athlete and administrator out there, not having a 3-week basketball tournament. I think, to me, it's more about, you know, saving the money than it necessarily is about doing what's best to protect the athlete, because we're seeing right now, if you go to some sort of bubble format or you really put down the rules and have strict rules, it's working in sports. I mean, the NBA, the NHL, the MLS, they've had zero positive tests since they started this thing. And Major League Baseball, you know, and we'll get into that in 1 second, the new rules that they're putting in place, the numbers are on a decline. And, you know, fantastically well, I talked about the other day, was the quote I got from the NFL folks about how great the coronavirus testing is going right now. So I think you can still play these championships if you make athletes follow certain rules and hold athletes accountable. You can get these championships played. I think this is more of a money saver for the NCAA than it is anything else, because they didn't have their big bake sale this year, and that's the men's NCAA tournament.
I'm just disappointed when there's pre-canceling. Like, if you're going to wait and see what the season holds, plan to have a championship. And if you can't, then deviate from it then.
Sure.
I don't know why we have to bail on stuff before you're even starting.
Well,
it does disappoint me, because it's like, let's try to find a way to work it out. If we can't get there, we can't get there.
Sure.
But let's try to find a way to work it out first rather than
just bailing
now.
And it shows you it's clearly a money saver for them. And it's clearly a money maker for Division One, because they announced yesterday college football playoff is still on. I mean, we're seeing the Division One.
They're not even
power
moving their
five.
Dates at this point.
They're not moving anything right now for the college
football
playoff.
They're moving back
their
final poll. That's it.
Yeah, but they're not.
To accommodate the conference championships possibly being later. But other than
Correct.
That, they're like, no, we're planning to play the semifinals on January 1st and the title game on January 11th.
Let's go and let's do this. And so obviously they're doing that because that is a big money maker. And if Division II and Division III championships made money, Josh, for the NCAA and didn't cost the NCAA money, they would be playing them. And that's the problem that I have with this whole coronavirus thing. We are using the coronavirus as a major excuse to eliminate things that could potentially cost you money. Instead of just coming out and saying, look, we had a bad year, we didn't have the NCAA tournament, we can't afford to put on these championships, we're using the coronavirus as the reason why we can't put on these championships. Well, we know good and well with the NCAA, if there was an opportunity for them to make money off the women's soccer championships in Division III, they would be playing the Division III women's soccer championships. Or if there was ways to make money off of the Division II cross-country championships, they would be holding the Division II cross-country championships. The NCAA is using this as a money saver guised as a pandemic.
Let's do a little Royals rewind, brought to you by Bob Allen Ford. Chris Bubich on the mound last night for the Royals, and certainly was great early on.
Deals, and it's in there. Strike three called at 97 miles an hour. How about that? A beautiful seat on the inside corner, and Bubich with a couple of strikeouts in the first inning. The Cubs are turned back in the first, and we'll see the Royals hit in the bottom of number one when we come back.
All right. Thank you, Fizz. Last night here on 610 Sports Radio, Bubich, six innings, two runs, four hits, six Ks, but certainly his first inning, 9-pitch, 1-2-3 inning was pretty big.
Yeah, it was. It was awesome, man. I think his first three innings were outstanding. I loved watching him pitch last night. He looked in control. He looked like an ace on the mound. And, you know, the reports are that Asa Lacy is better than this guy, and they're saying Chris Bubich isn't even the best lefty in the system right now. It gets you excited, because if that's not the best lefty, and that's the second best lefty that we have in our system right now and on our team right now, boy, oh boy, is the future going to be bright and exciting when it comes to watching these young guys pitch.
Bubich didn't give up much last night.
First and second. Nobody down. First pitch is popped up into shallow right. On the run is Lopez, and he can't get to it. It bounces on the fair side of the line, rolls into foul territory. Bryant will come around third and score on a shot down the right field line. A little parachute that dropped just fair off the bat of Baez to drive Bryant home and tie this game 1-1.
Just a little bloop.
Yeah, it stunk.
And then there was a double play ground out, which plated their second run. That's all they would need.
That's it.
They got insurance in the eighth and ninth with a pair of runs off the Royals bullpen, and the Cubs beat the Royals 6-1, handing the Royals their sixth straight loss. Mike Matheny after the game says it was a shame the Royals couldn't give Bubich more run support.
We've been so excited about how he carried himself. The hits he gave up were, you know, a couple C&I singles and a bloop, and he keeps guys off balance because he's just got so many things he can do. And the ball was jumping out of his hand today. It was effortless. He had a better rhythm. It was a great start, and just a shame. A shame we couldn't get him more support right there and give him a win, or at least a great opportunity to walk him out of there spitting the hook.
Need to get their starting pitchers some W's.
Yeah, they do. I mean, because you got to reward these guys for the effort that they're putting in. The starting pitching over the last week or so, minus that Saturday game, I think has been stellar. I mean, you started with Bubich last Friday. You had Danny Duffy on Monday. You had Junis on Sunday. You had, you know, Singer on Tuesday. Bubich again on Wednesday. We get Keller tonight, man. Like, I love this rotation right now, and it's only going to get better once, you know, Kowar and Lynch and Asa Lacy come in and potentially be part of this rotation moving forward. Like, I really love the rotation right now, and I said it earlier, I think it's a better rotation on paper right now than what they had in 14 and 15 when they went to back-to-back World Series. I mean, I don't think there was anybody really stellar in those rotations. You had some good performances. You had some good pitching those years, but I think this rotation right now has the potential to be the best rotation we've seen since the 80s in Kansas City.
Certainly, without going out and acquiring. I mean, it's just like in your system on paper,
yeah,
they're in no better shape than they've ever been from a pitching standpoint.
I mean, it's unbelievable right now when you look at the potential that this organization has. And it's not just potential anymore. We're not just talking about mythical guys at Double A Wichita or something like that. We're seeing them at the big league level, and we're seeing these guys go out there and own the opposition from a starting standpoint. I mean, like Bubich is going to get the loss for last night's game, but as you heard Steve Stewart say, man, that was like a parachute that just kind of dropped in and landed on the line. And if you give up a bloop like that, that shouldn't cost you the game. But with the offense not generating enough runs right now and not finding a way to get enough key hits right now, moments like that are difference makers in the game, but it's not going to take away from how good he was last night. And I couldn't be more, I've never been, you know, this excited in my adult life about Royals pitching like I am right now. I can't wait to see Asa Lacy up here at this level. I can't wait to see this rotation have a big three or potentially a big four. And it's, you know, Mulder, Hudson, and Zito. And every night you face these guys, you don't stand a chance because they're pitching like it's nobody's business and they're getting everybody out. And you got Maddox and Smoltz and Glavin. I mean, like, these guys are setting up to be this generation's Maddox, Smoltz, Glavin, Zito, Hudson, Mulder. They've got the opportunity to be really, really good. And again, like I said, it's not like they're mythical creatures down there at Single A Wilmington or something like that. We're watching these guys deal in big league ballparks against big league teams and have big time success already.
Just need a Chipper Jones too.
And this is why when you look at wins and losses for starting pitching and you go, oh, that guy's, who cares what the wins and losses are? Because if you look at wins and losses for the starting pitchers right now for the Royals, it's not good.
No, it's not good.
It's not good at all. But if you look at everything else and what they've been able to accomplish so far, like, wow, those guys are tearing it up.
Royals 3-10 and have dropped six straight. Finale of the set with the Cubs tonight. Earlier start time, 6:07. First pitch on 610 Sports Radio. Vern will have your pregame at 5. We'll talk to Mike Matheny, Royals manager, coming up 2 hours from now. He'll join us coming up at 9 o'clock. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. Also from the world of baseball, they tried to do it your way.
Right, we gave you a chance.
And now you're getting babysitters.
Yeah.
So enjoy it, baseball.
This is really parentish, isn't it?
Going to read you a little of this from USA Today, Bob Nightingale's article. Major League Baseball in the aftermath of the COVID-19 outbreaks of the Marlins and Cardinals are sending severe revised protocol measures to all clubs, threatening to suspend a player or staff member for the remainder of the season for repeated or flagrant violations.
Good. Some accountability needs to be had for these guys, right? Because we had the outbreaks.
So they've acquired a memo, a 6-page memo that's been sent to all the teams. We recognize that these changes place additional burdens and restrictions on players and staff, but if we desire to play, they are necessary to limit infections, and if someone does test positive, to keep the virus from spreading. Everyone must be accountable for their own conduct, because the careless or reckless actions of a few can impact the health and well-being of everyone.
No doubt.
Okay.
A microcosm of America.
That's right. Risks being prohibited from further participation in the 2020 season and postseason. The commissioner's office will send written warnings to any such action being taken.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the new protocols, players and staff wear face coverings all the time, including the dugout and clubhouse, with the exception of players on the field. Clubs are now required to reduce the size of their traveling parties. The compliance officers, which is awesome. What mm-hmm. a new gig. What a new bad cop.
Right.
For the clubs must certify that every member of the traveling party serves an essential function on the road trip.
So the
to make sure we're taking people that really matter.
The compliance officers, like the lady on League of Their Own, you know,
yes.
who was out there making sure the girls did not go out to bars and smoke cigarettes.
Yes.
Except this time now we're dealing with a virus and we're not dealing with bars and cigarettes. Or are we?
Staff and players are strictly prohibited from meeting in hotel rooms while on the road, including to share food, and may not gather in any public areas of the hotel without permission from the team's compliance officer.
How could you imagine being this compliance officer? This has got the opportunity mm-hmm. to be the worst job in America right now, yeah. dealing and babysitting big leaguers.
Yes. Each team will make at least one private large room at the hotel with food and other amenities that is configured to allow for social distancing. This one cracks me up. Yet, while eating and drinking, individuals are discouraged from talking to one another or even facing one another.
Right. You will not talk to me. You will not look at me. You will not speak to me.
You may come in the room. You may eat and then get out.
Get the hell out.
Do not look at each other. Do not speak.
But again, they gave the baseball players the opportunity to do it their way. And through the first 2 weeks, the baseball players didn't behave. They did things they shouldn't have done, like, you know, throw dice and go to strip clubs or go to bars or go to restaurants or whatever the case may be. And it ruined it for everybody. I mean, that's the way it goes. And I appreciate Major League Baseball saying, we're going to go ahead and we're going to give you the opportunity to do it the way that you want. But the minute it doesn't work and the minute you don't do it the right way, we're going to have to put in these strict rules. And this is just the beginning of the strict rules.
Clubs must provide a minimum of 4 buses on road trips, fully unoccupied row between players and staff members,
mm-hmm.
no side-by-side seating. On planes, players and staff members are prohibited from having more than 2 individuals in a row, and they cannot sit across from one another. Prohibiting anyone from leaving their seats except to use the lavatory. Players and staff members also must wear surgical masks on the plane,
mm-hmm.
prohibiting the cloth face coverings.
Can't wear those anymore.
Another one, the eating and drinking ones are funny to me.
Yeah.
I understand, but they're the tone of them is so harsh.
It's good.
Eating and drinking are still permitted on the planes, but players and staff are prohibited from talking to one another at the same time.
Right, so you can either eat or you can talk. It's one or the other, but not both.
They don't want you spitting your food all over each other.
Do you think a big leaguer has ever had to face any rules like this in their lives?
No chance.
For anything. Like they've never been held accountable for anything. This is like new territory for players.
This goes to the harshest of the compliance officer as well.
Yeah.
Any player or staff member must notify their compliance officer if they intend to leave the hotel on the road.
Okay.
The officer will decide whether their planned trip outside the hotel complies with the manual and the club's code of conduct.
So no chasing after the co-eds.
No.
is probably off limits.
You have to have
where
a valid
are you going?
Excuse.
I'm going to meet Sally. You're not going to meet Sally. Sorry, back to your room. Could you imagine this guy standing at the door with a clipboard? This is like the safety officer in school, you know, that wore the reflective vest that everybody picked on all the time. This compliance officer, man, how many guys are going to like, are we going to see guys like scaling out their hotel windows with bed sheets and things like that to try to get out to go carouse? I mean, is this what it's going to come to? Guys are sneaking outdoors. Fire alarms are going off. Like, I mean, this compliance officer job, I hope this guy's getting paid as much as a ball player is, because that person is never going to sleep. Yeah. That person is not going to have any kind of like just relaxation time over the next 60 days or whatever it's going to be. That person is going to have to be on his or her toes the entire time.
Yeah, this looks like a terrible, terrible job for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible job for somebody. So good for baseball for tightening things up.
Yeah.
Like, we tried. We had some deviation. This was not what we intended. We're going to ratchet up what the rules are.
Yeah, and it gets even serious. Even while at home, players and staff members are strictly prohibited from visiting bars, lounges, malls, or places with large groups that gather. And players and staff members who have been ordered to quarantine or isolate on the road may not leave their hotel room under any circumstance. Any club official who does not receive permission from the commissioner's office to end their quarantine or isolation is subject to discipline.
From the commissioner's office.
Right.
Can I leave the room? I don't know.
Do you have
the
commissioner?
Rob. Do you have the commissioner's permission?
Yeah.
No? Okay, well, you're staying in your room then.
Yeah, you're locked in. Sorry.
Until you get the call. And the
Brinks truck drivers are going to stand outside the rooms to make sure you don't escape. I mean,
so it feels like like babysitting, but it's babysitting.
It is. But essentially what it is too, Josh, I mean, it's the same rules that the NBA players and NHL players have in their bubbles, except Major League Baseball isn't doing it in a bubble. They're trying to create the bubble on the road, because you really couldn't create a bubble type of scenario anywhere else in the country to do it like the NBA or like the National Hockey League, you know, is doing right now. And so baseball has essentially created 30, if you will, individual bubbles for the team. And those are the rules, man. And if you want to play the sport, you want to get paid, you got to follow the rules. I know baseball was easy to mock, and it's easy to make fun of Rob Manfred, and it's easy to say that the protocols and the testing in Major League Baseball weren't working. But the protocols and testing were working, because they were finding out all of these guys that were straying away and doing things that they weren't supposed to do. And Major League Baseball said, well, now we got to lock it down. We gave you an opportunity to be adults. You have shown that you can't be adults, and so now these rules are in place that you're going to have to follow for the rest of the season.
Meanwhile, the NFL is still going through their protocols, right? And each team's, I guess, left up to how they deliver the message to their players. Mm-hmm. The Raiders took a unique approach. They had a Zoom call with their players. John Gruden wasn't there,
mm-hmm.
and they told the players it was because he had tested positive for coronavirus. He had not, but they wanted to display the severity of the possibility is there for everyone. Mike Garofalo of NFL Network.
This is pretty telling about how teams are approaching how things are right now in the COVID world. And that is the Raiders players logging on to a Zoom call last week, expecting to see John Gruden. Instead, they saw Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach and the assistant head coach. Bisaccia told them, guys, Coach Gruden has COVID, and he's at the hospital now, and he's being taken care of, and the players were taken aback. Whoa. They shortly thereafter told him, you know what, we're just putting you on a little bit. And it wasn't a joke. What it was the team illustrating to the players that this could happen at any moment to anybody. And mind you, this was a couple days before Doug Peterson with the Eagles tested positive. So the point to the players was, you've got to stay ready. You've got to stay ready. Everybody's got to stay ready, because this virus that Gruden himself said that they want to crush could pop up, and it doesn't discriminate. So this is something we could face some point in the season, whether it's our head coach, our starting quarterback, whatever. So just to illustrate to you guys, here's a little exercise. And the players really took it to heart, from what I'm told. And now going forward, no, that everybody's got to be on the ready because of the world that we are living in right now.
Scared him straight with a prank.
It's good, though. I don't normally give the Raiders credit for anything because I don't think they do much of anything well, really. I mean, since, you know, the early 2000s when they made it into the Super Bowl, since then they have not really done anything well. They couldn't even relocate well. And I think that's a great idea that they had, though, because I could just imagine sitting in that room and all of a sudden here comes the special teams coach, the assistant head coach, the guy who's going to take over in case something happens, and he's on there and he says, John Gruden has COVID. And I could feel my stomach sink. I bet their stomach sank as well and went, oh my goodness, this is really real. And I think sometimes using the scared straight, the using of real life examples, I think it really does send a message. And I applaud the Oakland Raiders for doing something like that because I think it will work. And I think it will send the message that they want to send, that just because you play in the NFL and just because we're going through all of this testing at the facilities and we've got this place on lockdown doesn't mean you're invincible. You still have to watch what you do away from the facilities. And if you don't watch what you do away from the facility, you could bring that back into the facility and we all could potentially be doomed. And so I like the fact that the Raiders are doing that scared straight program. I think it does have an effect. I think it does have an impact. And I hope all teams are doing something, you know, to that level to show their players and to show everybody in their organizations what could potentially happen if everybody isn't responsible moving forward for this entire season.
Has Frank Caliendo weighed in yet?
He has not weighed in on that yet. No, we've not seen him weigh in on that.
Decided to pick a spot on this one, maybe.
Yeah. Probably not the best. Yeah, to imitate something like this. Maybe not. I think it's a good move by this organization to do something like that because you have to send a message, and whatever way you can send a message and deliver that message to make sure it gets through, you got to go ahead and do it right now.
We now have plenty of sports. How baseball can't play just seven, and Derek Carr is delusional. All with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.